Hi, for some reason my connection dropped.
Yeah, me too. So I'm back.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Sensei.
I know I've mentioned this before, but about 3 weeks ago, Faye and I moved to Clinton, New Jersey, and both our sons and their families live down here. So by being down here, we're much closer to our grandchildren. And I've noticed that one of the things that I've caught my mind doing was sort of thinking about, okay, well, I'm 76 and my grandson is one. How much of his life will I get to see before I die? This is based on a theory that, well, I'll probably live at least another 10 years. And that's all fantasy. So anyway, I was thinking then as a result of this about the idea of life and death. So the two questions, what is life and what is death? So I think everybody knows who Maizumi Roshi is. He came from Japan back in the 70s and from the White Plum lineage, which was Maizumi to Bernie and on down a number of different teachers. And so we're all part of that lineage. So this brief story takes place out in L.A., ZCLA, and it was back in the day, back in those days. And Maizumi Roshi put a hand-lettered note on the door to the Zendo, and the letter read, "If you want to clarify the great matter of life and death, you are welcome. Otherwise, get out." So you have to sort of be familiar with the teaching methods of Zen teachers, because it sounds terrible, but it really makes the point very clearly. So he's saying in this message that if we are not willing to face the matter of life and death, don't even bother to take up this practice. So what is it about life and death that many of us don't want to face? And much has been written about our death-denying culture and how we emphasize youth and push away aging, cosmetic surgery, Botox, which abound, and then people go to extreme ends to avoid facing what is the inevitable, which is that we at some point all die. So one of the ways that we could get some perspective on this is if you spend some time in nature, we can see that the world, the universe, is in constant flux, constantly changing. Things are always different, never the same, and nothing stays the same. And if we sit and watch, we can see life and death as an integral and inevitable part of the flow of existence. That's the old story. Bigger fish consume smaller fish. A drought comes and a variety of flora and fauna dies. The early bird gets the worm. And all this activity occurs as part of the natural activity of what is. And it appears that, except for humans, all other forms of life move harmoniously within this ebb and flow. So why is it that we human beings seem to have difficulty with this matter of life and death? So one way to approach this question is to ask, what is life and what is death? And if we sit with this question, we realize that life and death are just names and that we associate feelings and preferences to these names. And if we stay with this, we may also see that naming removes us from direct experience. And in so doing, life and death are changed from experiences to concepts. And as a result, we see ourselves in opposition with them. It creates a duality. There's a me and there's a life. There's a me and there's a death, which I am usually denying or trying to fight off. Another aspect of this is our sense of self. This someone to whom life and death happens. Just as we asked, what is life and what is death, we can also ask, what is self? Who is me? Who is this being that I call me? So again, if we sit with this, we might also discover that this me, Carl, is just a name or an aggregate of names. Carl, old, young, smart, slow, handsome, not handsome, and so forth. All these names become the aggregate of who I think I am. And so this self, this myself, this Carl, seems commonsensical, real, solid, but in reality, it's a fiction. So how can this be? So back when I was working, when I worked late, so I came home late. I hadn't had any supper, and I'd seen, I don't know, 5 or 6 clients before leaving the office. And so I was really hungry, and I was grouchy and agitated. When I came in, being really hungry, I went right to the fridge, and I see in there a whole food sandwich, which I had forgotten was in there. It was a high protein sandwich, right? Perfect. Just what I need. So I went and I got a drink to go with the sandwich. And as I was walking over and pouring myself the drink, I noticed how my physiology had changed. I started to feeling contempt, less irritated. And this is because I found a sandwich. So I go back now to the fridge to get the sandwich to join my drink. And I discover it really isn't a sandwich at all. It was a brown mustard bottle laying on its side. And because I named it a sandwich and attributed certain characteristics to it, my life changed for a few minutes. But it was a fiction. This is a true story. So this belief that there is a separate self creates also fear and anxiety, especially if we entertain the possibility that this self might go out of existence. So we do everything that we can to maintain it, to prolong it, to justify it. There is yet another element that goes into this discussion. Our minds create the idea of time. So we think, I am born, I live my life, and I die. And in our minds, we create a movement through time which ends in death. Now, Dogen had something to say about this when he said, life is a position at one time. Death is a position at one time. So when we are just experiencing life without naming, without conceptualizing time, without thinking about a beginning or an end, there is just this, no past, no present, no future, just this. It's the mind that creates a future in which we might die. It's the mind that creates the question, how much of my grandchildren's lives will I see? In the meantime, there's just this. My mind is churning away. So ultimately, to practice Zen is to die. But to die is to die, to face the death of all our ideas, all of our names, including those we use to identify ourselves, the death of our story that we have made up about who we are, that fiction that falls away. And we call that the great death. But at the same time, this great death occurs, right? We see into the fiction of who we are, and that being, that Carl who I thought I was, softens and drops away. At the same time, that is a great rebirth. Because the self goes from being this little isolated me lost in this great universe to being the great universe itself. And because we're no longer separated from it by the names that we use, once again, we realize that we are free to go back and use all the names we would like to, because we will see through them. We will see that, while convenient, they are in the end a fiction. So all these ideas, all these stories is really nothing more than a tipped over mustard bottle. So I'm going to end with a story. I'm not sure anymore. It's an old story that I picked up a long time ago. But I think Soen Roshi was the teacher of Edo Roshi. He also was a teacher from Japan. And at the time of this story, he was probably well into his 70s. And somebody in the community or the monastery had died. So there was a funeral service. And there were probably several, maybe 100 monks there and lay people there and friends of friends there. And Soen had been asked to say a few words. So when it was time in the funeral service to get up, he walked up to where the podium was, where other people had talked from. So he walked up. And he stood there for probably a full minute, which is a long time, a full minute in silence. And then he asked the question, who will be next? Thank you.